Welcome everybody to the best podcast in the world. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. This is your favorite host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is Radu, the boss, Bosic.
Oh, hi everyone.
All right. This is a kind of special episode as we want to give you a little look inside of what we are doing when we do actually plan blocks and take a look at past blocks. So what you're going to hear today is just the normal discussion of a classic training block of Radu himself. And we just going to talk about it. What went wrong? What was good? What was not that good? Where do we can improve? And what do we need to implement into the next block? Maybe a little bit to let you know before. What is very important here is to say Radu is a very experienced athlete. So he knows a lot about himself. He's an athlete who's always pretty objective with the stuff that he just sees as at himself. So this is not with every athlete like that, but I hope in the future every athlete gets to the point where he's at right now to be able to be that objective. All right, let's jump into this.
Yeah, overall, I think that it was another successful and productive block, especially lower body-wise. I think that a lot of stuff happened there. But I think one major hit that was taken up was my upper body, which didn't quite, quote-unquote, progress because of my trip to Croatia. And I had to change up the equipment there, and the bars are... First of all, on pulling stuff, I don't have a good grip, and on pushing stuff, like the dip bars are so wide that it's basically impossible to keep up good positioning with power load. And also, it was pretty weird for me to bench on a normal bench. So that's why also I had to reduce some weights when I got here. But as I said, I think that lower body wise, we are on a roll, and I'm really, really satisfied here.
Yeah.
In terms of pulling stuff, I think that keeping the muscle ups first aid heavy does me really well. Yeah. And keeping them RPE based is also good because of the higher body weight now, it's really tough for me to gauge what's happening. And also because of the weight fluctuations that are happening don't quite give me the opportunity to really progress. Mm-hmm. Like keeping them a 7 or an 8 in all sets. I think that worked a little bit.
The connection is a little bit breaking down. I think you need to retell us the last two or three sentences.
All right, so I said for the muscle-ups that because of the weight fluctuations that are happening, I think it's good if we kept them RPE-based and not weight-based because it's really tough for me to gauge what weight I can move and to progressively overload there.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them RPE based, that did me really well this block. We can keep that up, definitely.
That's very important to maybe also for the listeners. When it comes to muscle ups, there might be days where you may not be that explosive as usual, and some days you may be more explosive. So an RPE based programming on muscle ups makes pretty much sense for a lot of athletes, not for everyone, but for a lot of athletes. And especially in the case of Radu, it makes absolutely sense as we have two muscle up days in the program and during that week. And one of the days is the more heavy days. We have to say that's actually the day where he does a little bit more of some weighted stuff in there. And then there are some days where he has the lighter ones, where it's pretty much only body weight. So when it comes to that, we have the first day. We observed that during the past blocks, I don't know how many we did, observe that. I don't have it in mind, but we saw when we put it in front of the training week, he usually performs a little bit stronger in the muscle up. That's what he already said, because we switched that up the block before to re-observe that, and it works better with the heavier muscle ups in front of the week, and by the end of the week, a little bit of more volume where he just is a little bit better with that. When you hear some sounds in the background, that's because I'm in the gym and people are dying behind me.
Yeah, and also I think important to note is, I think this is the first block that we did, no, second one, that we did a pushing training before pulling trainings. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like the push training the day before on my muscle ups. So that's another reason to keep them up.
Yeah, definitely. Because the sugar will definitely be a little bit tired when you push before. And that's what we also see in the pulling performance. But overall, I have to say I'm okay satisfied with that, because what we definitely worked on is the left shoulder blade. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit, I think it was the trap three that was a little bit tired, and a little bit of the elevator was a little bit fucked. So the left shoulder blade always went up during pulling, and we managed to work on that a lot. So that was pretty much the focus on that block, to get this kind of issue back into place, so that he can put enough power into the bar by keeping the shoulder blades in place where we want them. So that's something that we worked a lot on in this block.
Mm. Yeah. And on the second day, I really like the higher rep muscle ups, and that keeping them at three sets is perfect. Three sets of five really like gives me a nice combination of intensity and also like the opportunity for my technique. Good. And as you noted, I like for pulling stuff in terms of pull-ups. I think that it's also good to also keep them RPE based, even this block, because I still feel like I need some more time to get this scapula thing working and get it consistent. Because on some days, I still feel that it's actually my right side that's working a lot more in terms of elevation. So keeping it RPE based, this block two, it's a good idea. And aiming for higher reps, like sets of 6 to 8, to limit me in terms of choosing the weights, you know, so that I don't overload.
Absolutely. I think also the rep range is a pretty good one for you, because you can definitely, it's not a big rep range where you might lose control over it. And it's still enough to bring up the volume for some more hypertrophy and bring some blood flow in there. So I think that's a good way for you to go there with that rep range. Mm-hmm. In terms of the assistance exercises for the upper body pushing and pulling, how did you feel the transfer from as an example, the neutral pull-ups and one-arm rows into the stuff that we were doing? How was the fatigue?
Yeah, I think that we managed quite well. The overall volume, I didn't feel like it interfered with my upper body stuff. I felt like I was able to recover and also get the benefits from assistance stuff. So we can definitely, maybe switch up some of the assistant stuff, so that, because I think that adds the same stuff in the previous one, in the previous block, just so we kind of get some variety in there. But I really liked the fact that arch pull-ups are back in the game. Really love those. What we can maybe do to like tackle the scapula issue even more is maybe bring up some tempo work on the way down on the negative, or maybe some pauses at the top. I really feel like that always helped me when it comes to not only fixing issues, but also feeling my musculature a lot better and thus a better.
Absolutely. I think what we also did while planning this one was a little bit decreasing the stress on the trapezius himself. So that is, it's not too fried, so that the elevator doesn't pull the shoulder blade up that much, because of course we still have to do some pushing work, and of course doing some upper body some vertical pushing work. So that always fries the traps there, but we always have to keep the volume at the right position to not fry the muscle too much, and still being able to perform a little bit and giving the right stimulus to the body, because not training is of course no option. And I think we managed to bring the volume for that muscle part pretty good. What I would like to bring in for the next block a little bit more is some vertical pulling work, one arm a little bit more, to let the scapula work a little bit more. So what I was thinking about was just from one arm hanging from a passive into an active one, to bring that by the end of the workout as an accessory workout part, instead of, let me see that, I think it was something like the oblique ring plank knee raises, because what we do have is a lot of stress on the core because of the heavy back squats and deadlifts. And it was clearly to see that core is still strong enough, but next block we will definitely push a little bit more with the lower body, as we are still rebuilding all the shoulder girdle stuff in the upper body. So the it will not be that heavy for the upper body for you. So we definitely can increase volume there, but we should keep in mind that we don't fatigue the core too much at that point, because the deads and the back squats will get pretty heavy during the next block. So that's some, why we can definitely cut the specific core training out there and bring in something that's specific for the shoulder blade right there. But what we definitely have to keep in mind is that we don't fatigue it too much. So we're going to keep it with an RPE of 6 or 7, something like that. It's just for bringing in a little bit more of the connection from the brain to the muscle in there, so that everything works well when in summer, probably in summer. I think by July, we're going to have the problem fixed.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I think that's basically it in terms of pulling stuff. And so we can go over to the dip and the bench press.
Yeah,
the dips felt good. I think that they're definitely improving. What I do feel is that I definitely need some more practice in terms of maybe tempo work. So maybe adding some pause dips or 1-3 tempo dips. I think that that would definitely help me, because I feel like in the bottom of the dip, I have quote unquote stability that I should have. I don't know why that is the case, but just this block, I didn't quite feel like manage it at the bottom.
Was it because of the little bit wider parallel bars that you have in Croatia, or was it
at home? Absolutely, it was the case because of that mostly, but also in Germany. I don't know. I feel like at the start of the block, I just couldn't get the hang of dips. They just weren't feeling quite right. And also the scapula issue transferred there too. So I had like quite of an asymmetric dip at the bottom. So like that's why I thought that maybe adding some tempo work, so that I have the opportunity to spend some more time at the bottom of the dip and just see like, all right, so this is the position I have to be in, you know, to be symmetric. Both sides. That's what I felt like would be a good add-on.
Absolutely. You know? I think what we're going to do there is also like we did during the last block, keeping the RPEs there pretty low, because when we do the tempo work, it would definitely give a lot of stress to the shoulder girdle, as it has just to stabilize it for a longer time. And especially as not everything is working right in place there, we have definitely to keep in mind that it will fry the shoulder girdle. So intensity shouldn't be too high. We're going to keep it with RPE 6 or 7, something like that. Maybe we're going to bring in one set of RPE 8, but I probably don't think so, as it usually leads to the problem that you will overshoot it.
yeah, I know. Yeah.
happen.
But like, I loved on the first day the higher rep dips, keeping them a bit lighter, and also on the second day, I think that decreasing them for 5 kg in every set, I love that. That was perfect. Yeah. Definitely keep it.
Also, for me, what I viewed over the block was I think the overall volume was pretty good for you. It worked in every muscle group, especially in the upper body. I think we hit the volume pretty right. When we look at the numbers, that was pretty much exactly the volume that you were able to recover, even with the traveling stress and, of course, with the switching up of the equipment. And what I also saw was definitely the intensities were pretty right for you, because they didn't lead to "I'm gonna kill myself." They were pretty good, and you could focus on the lower body a lot during that block. And the lower body, I think that's something that we're gonna come up a little bit later on, because right now we also have to talk about the bench. From what I viewed, was the bench really helped you a lot with the chest activation for the dip. And I think that transferred into your dip, especially technical wise.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can still roll with the bench. I absolutely love the exercise because it's still relatively new to me. And as you said, I really feel a massive transfer to my dip in terms of using my chest, keeping the depression on point, but also just like growing my chest.
Yeah.
I really feel like it has grown in parts that haven't been tackled before. So
yeah,
roll. What I do feel like is, I don't know why, but my touch and go bench press is weaker than my pause bench press. It could be because when I do touch and go, I tend to do it quite fast, and that throws me out of positioning, you know? And then the bar path doesn't quite isn't quite on point. And on the other hand, when you look at the bench press with a pause, I really feel that I'm stable there and I can move a bit more load in rep range. I just feel like I need some more practice with the bench press, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeping them at higher reps, higher sets, is that a good thing? I don't know if it is a possibility to increase frequency, because we are still at 4 days here. How would it look like if we introduced a fifth day? I'm sure if that would. No.
So connection is a little bit shit now. Okay, it's back. Okay.
Back. All right.
We have to take a look at it as I don't think we can increase the frequency, because if we do so, we're going to kill your triceps as well. And I think we hit the volume for the triceps pretty well during that block, especially as we brought in all the handstand push-up work. And once we increase the frequency on the bench press, it might interfere with that. And that's something I would like to avoid at that point. So probably the progress in the bench press will be a little bit slower than we would love to have it. But as it is just an assistance exercise, it might be good for us to not focus too much on that at that point. As I think on that point, we definitely can say it already transfers pretty much into the dipping. And it's not like it's bad. Of course, the tempo work will definitely help. And I think you're definitely right with the touch and go, that with the when you do it too fast, that's the same thing that you see a lot with dipping. When people dip too fast, when they come down too fast, they're going to lose positioning. And that's very often a problem, that people do things too fast. And at that point, it might be good if we just work on the tempo in the touch and go, so that you just can increase intensities there by focusing a little bit more on the technical side on that. That might be that we maybe have to decrease weight on the touch and go bench for maybe, like, I don't think it needs to be too much, as I think it probably will be something like 5 kg or something. But for the longer term, it will lead you to the right positioning a little bit better. And we're definitely going to increase the weight long term a lot more than we would have with the shittier positioning.
Yeah, but like the rest, so in terms of accessory stuff, pushing upper body, pushing this block, so I think that there's no reason to switch up.
Yeah, it worked pretty well. It might be that I might bring up a little bit of work there, just switching up a little bit of accessory, just so that you definitely have some changes. But it definitely hits the same muscle stuff as I like you to don't get into the bored stadium.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know, maybe that was the wrong English word, but I don't care. You got me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean,
lower body.
Yeah, lower body. It was, we hit the nail with this one. Back squats, doing once a week, low bars. The second time doing high bars is awesome for me. I really feel like this allows me to stay healthy, because two times doing low bar doesn't quite allow me to, recover all that well.
Yeah.
And the high bars just don't give me the opportunity to load too much. So we can stay with that. The low bars in the first day, that's hitting a 7 and then decreasing by the percentage is awesome. So we can stay with that too. What I would change in this upcoming block is with the high bars. Instead of having the weight consistent in all sets, maybe having one top set and then decreasing to like 60 to 70% of the estimated one rep max. I think that we had that in the previous one, and that worked really well for me, because in my head, it's really tough to like do a set of 10 or a set of 9 on the high bar and then like do two more sets. It kills me completely.
I think really what's hard. Very important to say for that one is, did you hit the first set too heavy?
I was really trying to stay realistic, and I did keep it at a 6. But like the other two sets, I mean, it's sets of 9 to 10 reps. Oh, that's not really. I mean,
because with that setup that we have right here for the listener, that's a setup of 3 sets of 9, having the RPE of 6, 7, 8. So usually that in that case, it would say that's straight sets. And the last set is the one that gives the right stimulus, because then you're a little bit more tired. And that's usually when you have the RPE 8 in there. This is only possible if the athlete himself is very, very honest with himself. And I'm guilty of being not too honest with myself at that point, because I'm doing pretty often the same stuff there. And so sometimes you have to talk to the lifter, how do you feel with that? And Radu already said it helps him mentally to have one heavy set and then some lower back off sets with lower intensities, as then there is just one time a heavy set and not three times a moderate heavy, but still heavy set.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think we can bring that up, but we also here, we're not going to bring up the intensity of the first one too high, as we probably going to stay with the 7 or something like that, because it's accessory. No, it's not accessory, but it's kind of assistance to the low bar squat.
Yeah.
And I want you to have the one day in the week where you definitely squat a little bit more heavy, and the other day shouldn't be too heavy, as if we do so, it will interfere too much with the deadlifting that we are doing, and that's also pretty heavy where we are right now. And we have to keep in mind how much it's gonna fatigue you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, for the deadlifts, can still row with the sumo. It was great, this block, that I didn't unload the posterior chain all too much, because I mean, I didn't quite have a second deadlift variation because we did bent over rows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you feel like we have space for adding in one more posterior chain movement in there, because I really miss RDLs. If that's possible, that would be great. If not, we can still roll with the bent over row, because I feel like I have a lot of benefits from that movement.
I would say from what we learned through the last blocks, I wouldn't bring in the RDA right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course you like it and you would love to do it, but on the one hand, of course we have this, it has to be fun and all that stuff, but I think it's also very beneficial for you to have one day a week where you don't have the heavy lifts. And I think we both know how much it takes from you mentally.
Oh, yeah.
4 days a week, heavy lifts. We need to keep that in mind, that it will fatigue you mentally a lot to have the RDLs in there, because we both know how hard you can go there. And we still have the Nordic curve variation in there with that in mind. That's definitely something that hits the hamstrings a lot. And with the bend over row, that's still something that leads to some spine stabilization. And that's something that we definitely we need to keep in mind, that we don't want to kill the spine. But I think with the bend over row and the Nordic curve variation at that point, it works pretty well for you right now. I wouldn't switch that day up.
All right. I mean for that. The only question I have is in terms of rep ranges for lower body stuff. You said be a bit more intense this block. So what can I expect in terms of rep ranges at the low bar squats or the sumo deadlift? Because on the sumos I had sets of 8 now, and that's a complete massacre.
For the sumo deadlifts, we're definitely gonna say as we had sets of 8 right now, we definitely gonna bring that down now. Also because we need to, because when we look at the technique that you have right now, it's a pretty good technique on the sumo deadlifts. But when you look at it, when you still keep on doing the sumo deadlift technique that you're using right now, it's gonna kill you once we go to the really heavy weights. And you just pulled 220 for 8, which is called, I think, something like a 270 estimated 1RM, something like that, if I have that right in my mind. I would like you to being also really able to pull that. And for that, we need the right technique. And for that, we need to bring up the intensities for that. So we're gonna lower down the rep ranges here, not too fast. For the next block, it's probably around 5. And in summer, it's probably going down in July and August down to 4-3-2, something like that. So we're gonna have a big pull in summer.
I love it. That's great.
With the back squats, when we look at the back squats, that's the stuff where it gets pretty interesting right now, because also the numbers here are pretty high, and we do have a good volume of back squats right now. I would like to keep the numbers a little bit bigger with the high bar back squats, because I think that helps you a lot to bring in your quads a little bit more into the low bar squatting. But we're definitely going to decrease also the numbers in the low bar one. That was planned for the summer, as we actually have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with the competitions this year. If there are competitions, it probably going to be in fall. So they said it's probably going to be maybe a competition in October. And if we already have a little bit of lower rep ranges, something like 5 or 4 in summer in August, we are in the perfect situation to push into the competition the right way. So that's probably the stuff that we're going to do here. So coming down with the rep ranges slowly but steady will be probably the right thing here. But what we are definitely going to do is still keeping the set volume in the way that we keep the overall same rep amount of reps that we have right now. So when we drop down by 1 or 2 reps doing this block, we're going to bring up another more set. I know that's going to be mentally hard, but it could be that I'm thinking about to bring up another high bar squat set in there, because I know the low bar is already on about 4 sets on that day. And actually, yeah, when we bring up the weight too much, we will interfere with the sumo deadlifts. And we're going to interfere too much with the overall fatigue. So we have to just keep in mind, okay, when we cut the reps, we probably have to bring up a little bit of the set volume, because on that point, we already have all the data of what works very well for you in terms of volume and intensities, and that we still have to keep that in balance for you so that we have the best outcome overall.
Yeah, makes absolute sense.
All right.
So, let me know.
I don't think we're going to switch up the deficit Bulgarian split squats for you. Because
no, and also please keep the belt squats in there. I love them. They're great. And those are also really awesome. So
yeah.
Lower, the only thing that I'd like to be changed is the Stalder Stand Good Mornings sets of 16 to 20 reps. I eat that. I have that for 2 blocks already. And please push that up. Either lower the reps or change up the exercise, because I can't do that anymore.
Okay. I think we can definitely switch that up. I think they did their work. They helped a lot with bringing up a lot of blood rush into the area that we want to have the blood rush. And I think if we switch that up into something that is, you know, the German word... let's say it in another way. It would be good to switch the exercise selection here up from something that definitely goes a little bit into spine stabilization, a little bit more into the direction of something that doesn't have to stabilize the spine too much. So it is probably something... maybe a hyperextension variation that brings a little bit more stress into the hammies, That was something I had in my mind, but for that we probably would need another hyperextension machine or a better setup for that. Let me think about it. It would be probably a good idea to bring in one leg hyperextension work on a hyperextension machine because that's the right angle for that. But the problem will be you don't have that at home. So I'm gonna have to think about how we're gonna bring in that in a way that we have stress enough on the hammies, not that much stress on the back, and still having the right stimulus. And I would like to avoid the leg curls.
Yeah, sure.
Because I want the glutes in there too. That's actually the most important.
Yeah, that's
because we need the glute max in there, not the glute mid. And we definitely need it in a combination with the hammies, and that's why we need the right exercise selection at that point.
Absolutely.
I think a good idea would actually also be some swings. Some kettlebell swings would be a good idea, but we don't have a kettlebell. All right. I think for that, most of the stuff we have in there. Is there something else you also really didn't like in the exercise selection? Is there something in the assistance that we need to switch up or something?
No, I mean, I really liked the program, as I said. It's just that these things that I noticed throughout the block, other than that, it was great.
That's perfect. That's very, very good. All right. I think for the listeners, we have it all right now. So as you as a listener now have a little insight into how we talk about the block stuff and how we do manage stuff like that in a good conversation with an athlete, because for us it's very important to be very close to the athlete to know what's up, how do you feel with the training and all that stuff. So that was a little example how it can look. Hope you liked it. And if you liked it, let us know. If you have any questions about it, let us know. Shoot us a message on the Strength and Skills podcast. And if you're interested to work with us, always feel free to check out bar-bellcoaching.de/links. Let's get it on. Have another productive week of training. Enjoy yourself, enjoy the sun, and have some good food. Goodbye.